Lord, as we come to look at your word this morning, by your Spirit, speak to us, challenge us, and inspire us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me begin with a story. A young boy came to Sunday school late one morning. His teacher knew that he was usually very punctual and asked him if anything was wrong. The boy replied no, that he was going fishing, but his dad told him that he needed to go to church. The teacher was impressed and asked the boy if his dad had explained to him why it was more important to go to church than to go fishing. To which the boy replied, yes, he did. Dad said he didn't have enough bait for both of us. Today in our sermon series, we're looking at the birth and importance of the church. Last week in the gospel reading, we heard how Jesus met with his disciples for the Last Supper, where he took bread and wine, which were to be reminders to them and to us of his life given, his blood shed. When Jesus talked of his death, the disciples found it hard to hear, but the reality of his suffering and death on the cross left them distraught and afraid, and they locked themselves away fearful for their own lives. But as we know, on Easter Sunday morning, the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid was found empty, for God had raised him gloriously from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples. His risen presence gave them reassurance that all he had predicted and promised was true. And then came the ascension. And Jesus said before he returned to heaven for his disciples to wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. John baptized with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were to wait, not to try and speak or act for God in their own strength, but to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so it was on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out on them, touching and filling their lives, and a real change came over them. No longer frightened and afraid, but bold and confident. And those around noticed and thought they were drunk. And Peter in his first sermon explains, as we heard in that reading from Acts 2, what people saw happening was as the prophet Joel had prophesied, I will pour out my spirit on all people. The spirit had been there from the beginning and had, as we've seen in the Old Testament, come on particular people on particular occasions. But now, not having Jesus' physical presence, his power and presence were to be made known through the gift of the Holy Spirit, given to all. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is not a future hope, just a future hope, but a present reality now. To find in Christ forgiveness, new purpose and hope, a new joy and zest for life. Like the disciples, to know that transformation, to no longer live for self, but to focus on Jesus. And so on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. And Acts 2, 42 to 47 give us a snapshot of what the early church was like. And if you want to turn up the passage, it's page 1094, Acts 2, 42 to 47. But perhaps we first must ask, what is the church? Some think it's a denomination or a building, but not so. We, the baptized people of God, are the church. Don't get me wrong, it's great to have such lovely buildings to worship in. And in Ardley and Dedham, we are blessed in having buildings which speak of the glory of God where God's presence and peace is felt. But it is us, the people of God, who are the church. This is how Peter in his first letter expressed it. Come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. On Monday, the 7th of December 1992, St. Barnabas Church, Dulwich, was totally destroyed by fire. Their building was gone, but they, as a church, the people of God, met as usual on the Sunday morning to worship and share communion. We are the church. We are the living stones. So let's look together at what the hallmarks of that early church recorded by Luke for us in Acts 2, 42 to 47 look like. In verse 42, Luke tells us, they devoted themselves to four things. But before rushing on to look at those four things, stop and reflect for a moment on that word, devotion. What does that word convey to you? Commitment? Focus? The dictionary says, zealously loyal. This was no half-hearted commitment, but things they were passionate about. And what were they? Well, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were learners. They wanted to know more about the things of God. And we can do that too in a number of ways, through listening to sermons, reflecting on them, and sharing how God may have spoken to us over perhaps a drink after the service. Another way is to discuss our belief and to study the Bible in a home group or at the men's breakfast. And if you're not part of one, do consider joining a group. The truth is, there are always things to learn to gain a new and deeper understanding of God and his purposes for us and for his world. A good question to ask ourselves is, am I growing in my faith? What would be the signs of that growth? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Secondly, they devoted themselves to fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, which is a word expressing what we have in common as the people of God. It is essentially the fellowship of the Spirit, because it's our common participation in him which actually unites us. If the Spirit dwells in you and in me, his presence has made us one. And because of that, we can enjoy each other's company. There is togetherness and sharing on all kinds of levels. We're not to be acquaintances, but to be a fellowship of believers, united and focused on Jesus. And thirdly, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. In his commentary on this passage, Tom Wright says, this was the early Christian term for the simple meal that took them back to the upper room in remembrance of Jesus. It's what we call today the Eucharist, or Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, where we gather around the Lord's table in eating bread and drinking wine, and recall Jesus' death and resurrection are the centre of everything. It's something the early church participated in regularly, and we too should also regularly feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. And there is plenty of opportunity for this through both our churches. Fourthly, they devoted themselves to prayer, which acknowledged their dependence on God. It's what they'd seen modelled by Jesus, for he often drew aside to pray, and they followed his example. So, for instance, as the church grew and more help was needed, they prayed about who to appoint. Paul later wrote this to the church at Philippi: "But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." It was a praying church that turned to God and sought his help and guidance. Prayer is our privilege, and it's been said, when prayer goes up, power comes down. It seems clear, because the early church devoted themselves to these things and put Jesus at the centre of all they did, things happened. Verse 43. Many wonders and miracles were done by the apostles. There were healings, and as they shared the good news of Jesus, people came to faith and lives were transformed. People found peace and a new purpose in living. Are we seeing those things happening as a result of our prayer and witness? We should, for the same Holy Spirit is given to us. I read recently an encouraging story of God at work. A Christian couple felt called to make their home on a deprived housing estate, desiring to witness in whatever way they could to their neighbours around. They quickly discovered there was absolutely no sense of community, and many people were isolated. They prayed and asked God to show them how they might engage with their neighbours. There was a piece of derelict land used as a dumping ground, and it was an eyesore in the midst of the community. And so they started to clear it and care for it. And slowly, others came to join them. And together they planted flowers and some vegetables. Conversations began between the people. Friendships were formed, and people began to take responsibility for their area. And as well as creating a garden to care for, it brought actually a change in the atmosphere within the community. I believe that too is a miracle. They come in all kinds of ways if we're open to God's prompting by his Spirit. There was a boldness in the early church, and things happened. But there is more. Those who are part of the church felt a responsibility for each other. Verses 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Faith was put into action. Not all can have sold houses, you'll be relieved to know. For we see later in Acts, they met in one another's homes, but some did. The quality of their fellowship and relationships was such they made sacrifices to help and support others. It is what the best families do. Well, this idea may make us feel challenged or uncomfortable, but what we have, whatever it is held in trust. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The church cared, supported, and felt a responsibility for each other. Not just kind words or warm fellowship, but also practical action. When the church was born, they didn't shut themselves away, but verse 46, they met daily in the temple courts. They were regular in gathering to worship God with others. There are some who say you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I wonder if that's ever been said to you. And if it has been said, how did you answer, I wonder? I've certainly had it said to me, and my answer is that it has to be true. For there are Christians who, because of age or frailty, are unable to get to church. And so church goes to them, visiting or taking communion. The Bible knows nothing of being a Christian in isolation.